Amen. Allah'ım şu konuya bin var o.
Even though
Say such a schos baruch Hashem. When did we do this last?
Once you're filled out.
Thank you, baruch Hashem.
Last year.
I know, but what was
right before Shavuos?
Right before Shavuos. Same
don't tell
thing.
Anyone, but I took the flyer and just changed the date to the same exact
date. You want the rabbi all younger?
Rabbi says younger. Yeah,
was you're younger. It was good. All right, actually, I think I can do without this. I'll try without it. So, mostly, it's a great schos baruch Hashem to be back here in Silver Spring with this beautiful chevra, to be here with such a beautiful koach and neginah, to prepare for Kabbalah Satorah together. So, over the course of the evening, sure, just a couple of shorter ideas, but I wanted to begin actually just with a really simple yet incredible idea that I actually saw this afternoon by the Magid of Mezrich. So, the Magid makes note that Chazal quote the pasuk in Shir Hashirim, where Shlomo HaMelech writes, "Tzena ura'ena b'no Sion b'melech Shlomo." So go out and see the daughters of Zion. Go and look at Shlomo HaMelech. Ba'atara she'itra lo'imo b'yom chasunaso u'b'yom simchas libo. And see the atara, see the crown that his mother, that Shlomo HaMelech's mother made him for when? For b'yom chasunaso, the day of his chasuno, and the day of the joy of his heart. And Chazal tells us right again, this appears in the Medrash of Shir Hashirim in Zohar as well, that what does Biyom Chasuna so mean? What is it? What's the day of his wedding? That refers to Yom Matan Torah. That refers to Shavuos. So you see this imagery in Chazal a lot, that Shavuos is compared to a Chasuna. It's the Chasuna between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Kfali. So in fact, well, we'll get to a little bit later, but the beautiful Gemara Mesech HaShabbos that says that Kafalim HaKigigis, that Hashem held the mountain over us. So although most understand that in a very ominous and foreboding way, but the way the Zohar understands it is that the mountain over Klal Yisrael was the chuppah, that the Ribbono Shel Olam came onto the chuppah with us. That's Biyom Chasuna So. That's Kabbalah Satorah, it's a chasuna. But the Shal is, what does that mean? What does that mean? We understand the power and profundity of Kabbalah Satorah. You know, it's important to understand that like in the yeshivas, especially of pre-war Europe, the most joyous day in the Beis Medrash was not Simchas Torah. The most joyous day in the Beis Medrash was Shavuos. Because what makes a yeshiva, yeshiva? What makes a yid? It's Torah. When did we receive this most incredible and beautiful gift of all times? On the Yom Tov of Shavuos. There's something special. For us, often it's the opposite, because, not the opposite, but one of the difficult things sometimes for us in Shavuos is that there's not per se a physical mitzvah to hold on to. Right? All the other Yomim Tovim, Pesach, we have the Seder, we have Matzah, Sukkah, Sparshim, we have the Sukkah, Dalet Minin. So when it comes to Shavuos, there's no object, there's no like ritual Cheftza that we have to latch onto through which to glean additional meaning and spiritual profundity. That's because Shavuos itself is so heilig, it's so holy, that it transcends any one object. Shavuos is the Yom Tov of identity. Shavuos is the Yom Tov when we became us. What a yid is someone who has Torah. That's what makes us us. Remember again, Judaism, we didn't corner the market on God. Kadosh Baruch Hu belongs to all of humanity, and all of humanity has the ability to be heilig, to be credible, to be special. So what makes us us? What makes us us? What makes us us is Torah. And as such, the profundity of Shavuos is that it is a day in which we received our core identity. But again, in the eyes of Chazal, they understand this as a chasana, as a wedding. So listen to the words of the Magid. He says, "V'nim shalah hasim." I'm just going to read you a few lines. "V'nim shalah simcha azos lechasana shamelach gadol v'niskov im hamatzer nisa." So in the eyes of Chazal, and you find this in much of Hasidic, in the Sfarim, Hasidic literature, that it's not just any chasana. Shavuos is the chasana of royalty. It's a king marrying a queen.
Shezeu simcha hagdol sheish b'metzias. That's the greatest level of simcha. Because remember again, if the king marries a commoner, okay, it's a simcha, but it's not so great. But the king marries a queen, two royal lines uniting. That's a simcha. Says the Magid, Shavuos is the chasana between HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Melech is royalty, and Klal Yisrael, the Malka, we are the queen royalty as well. Umegodol ha-simcha, yeish chedva v'tzahala b'chala medina. V'amelech ha-chasan, Shalom Aleichem Tzadik, how are you? Good. This is Mamash like Hillel on the skylight, just under the table. It's incredible, incredible. Anything not to go to bed. So the Rebbe goes on, he says something amazing. He says, and the simcha is palpable itself. So let me get to the core. He says, V'inyan kesha chasana. But what does this mean? That Shavuos is a wedding. What's the imagery that Chazal are seeking to convey? Well, say, listen to these beautiful words. Dugmas yichud ish v'isha. This could be compared ultimately again to the yichud. Remember in Chevra, What's the most beautiful part of the chasana? Most beautiful part of the chasana? You know, you think about it again. Chasan's tish is incredible, right? The shemor, right? I don't mean as a guest. I mean for the chasan and kala, right? What's the most beautiful part of this? Again, chasan's tish is beautiful. Badekin is beautiful. Even chuppah is beautiful. But the most beautiful part of the chasana for the chasan and kala is the yichud room, right? That's they're alone together for the first time as husband and wife for those few minutes of privacy, those few moments of alone time that they get to be with each other, to hold one another again away from the public eye, just celebrating this most incredible and beautiful moment. So the Rebbe goes on. He says, "Sha'al yidei nisuin na'ase kasher bein shnehem." Well, see, if you think about this in just a moment, what's the essence of marriage? If I have to ask you, what's the essence of marriage? What would you say? What's the defining factor of marriage?
Subservience of ego.
Subservience of ego. Good.
You're wrong.
That is one beaten down man, right? Subservience of ego. But true. I would reframe that. Being mavater. Okay. Learning how to yield. Learning how to yield. Good.
Low macabre pros, you do it because of the commitment.
You do it for the commitment, right? If you think about this, really, the essence of marriage, I'll reframe a little bit what Reb Chaim said, the essence of marriage is exclusivity. Now, what I mean by that, even if you think about it, by the way, the word that we use for marriage is kiddushin, or at least for one stage of marriage. So kiddushin, from the lashon of hekdish. What does hekdish mean? Hekdish means that something is consecrated for the Beis HaMikdash to the exclusion of anything else, right? In other words, it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash and cannot be used in any other way. The whole yisod of marriage, a man marries a woman, and what is he saying in that moment that he marries her? He says, your happiness, your fulfillment, your contentment are the most important things to me in this world, above and beyond my own happiness, my own contentment, my own fulfillment. There's an exclusivity that's there. I am exclusively committed to your happiness, to your safety, to your fulfillment. So the Rebbe says something amazing. At the moment that there's a kesher, that there is a link, if there's a bond between husband and wife, ultimately, again, he says, there's a yichud, there's a oneness that's there. As the pasuk itself says, Al ken yazov ish es avav v'imo, a man will leave behind his mother and father, v'davak be'ishto, will cling to his wife, v'hayu lebasar echad. They become one entity. They become one entity. What does it mean to become one entity? So Rashi HaKadosh says, Ayedei Avlad, through a child. Okay, so that's a very biological definition. But on a spiritual level, Hayu Lebasar Echad means that at the end of the day, you know, there's the famous Maisa, Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, Zeker Tzadik Livracha, that his wife had some type of foot injury, and he accompanied her to the doctor, famous Maisa, and they walk into the doctor's office, he's there with his wife in the waiting room, the doctor comes out, Rebbetzin, what's wrong? And Rav Shlomo Zalman answered, famous Maisa, our foot hurts. Our foot hurts. And that wasn't to gain brownie points, you know, that wasn't because the biographer was there in the background and he wanted to get a good Maisa. Right? Rav Shlomo Zalman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Kol Shel Racha, just understood that's what marriage is. There's a yichud, there's a oneness that comes about through marriage. There's that kiddushin, there's that exclusivity, that oneness, that unity of purpose. Omeaz, now listen to this. So this is what the Rebbe says. Shaydan Nisuin, Nasa Kesha Ben Shneim. So through the marriage, right, through Nisuin, there's a Kesha, there's a bond. That bond creates a sense of unity. Listen to his words. Omeaz Misnahel Habayis Bishutfus Yachad. And what happens after you get married? You build a home. And how do you build a home? How do you build a home? Bishutfus Yachad. How do you translate that? Bishutfus Yachad? A partnership together. If you notice the lashon, right? A partnership together. There are different kinds of partnerships. Some partners have singular vision, right? Some partners have unity of purpose. And some partners, the way they work better actually is you do your thing, I'll do my thing. We stay in separate corners. We're both fulfilling essential needs, but we really don't intersect. That's not marriage. Marriage is, that's the lashon. That's the lashon ultimately. Shutfus biyachad. It's a partnership, but it's a partnership where two people are working together. It can't be that a husband says, you know what, yes, I'm your partner, but listen, you stay in your lane, I'll stay in my lane. You can build a life like that, but that's not the Yiddish version of marriage. It's shutfus, it's a partnership where we're both together in everything that we do. V'zochin l'holid banim. When you have a marriage like that, what does that produce? What does that create? So the Rebbe says, it creates offspring. Now, offspring, of course, could refer to biological offspring, but banim also sometimes means results. When you have a shutfus biyachad, such a marriage, such a union, produces beautiful results. So get ready for this. This is incredible. Keinu kiviyachol, b'nisuya HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'nei Yisrael. It is similar to the marriage that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has with Klal Yisrael. He says, shekodem matan Torah, haisa kol hanhagas habriya al yidei HaKadosh Baruch Hu levado. The Rebbe says, listen to this. You know, before I get to this part, when the Rebbe says that it's a shutfus biyachad, what that means is that anything that one spouse is involved in, the other spouse essentially says, how can I help? I'll tell you, ma'aseh she'kachaya. So Baruch Hashem, we were zochet to have two grandchildren this week. Baruch Hashem. So my oldest daughter had a baby, a little girl, Baruch Hashem, on Matzah Shabbos. So my grandchildren, she has two children, Kanai Nahar, my grandchildren were with us from Erev Shabbos till, Monday, Baruch Hashem, which was beautiful. And I said to my wife, like on Sunday, like, I'm exhausted. I'm absolutely exhausted. Kanai Nahar, they're 5 and 3. And always talking. And always engaging. And always playing. And always this and always that. I said, this is exhausting. And my wife said, she said, yeah, because for you, this is your first time around doing these things. she said, you weren't really all that present the first time around with our kids. I had it. You were doing whatever you had to do. And it was like, wow. So first of all, but it was, and it was said with complete love. It was said with I think. And then it was complete love. But it was such a tremendous thing because I realized in that moment it was absolutely true that during those early years, you know, in the shul, during those early years in Rabbanus, so again, that's where all of my attention was. And I realized that, yeah, there were many things that in the own raising of our children, my wife, she should just be well. I may have asked from Sharon Tovos, she did by herself. She really did all by herself. Not like the lion's share, literally all by herself. And I realized like afterwards that was like, it's a shtickle pagam. Like it's not the right way. It's not the right way because there was a shutfus, but it wasn't the shutfus biyachad. She, right, again, I wasn't playing golf, right, I wasn't out, fishing, you know, obviously, again, doing also, Baruch Hashem, meaningful and good things, but she was in her lane, I was in my lane, and the truth is, I realized that I should have been much more in that other lane, so it was this is, you could have a shutfus, but it's not the yachad, but that's not the ideal. The ideal is you want, and this is a young chevra, this is important, just din and shalom bayis. Make sure, again, that whatever your spouse is involved in, that you're also have a chilek in that. Again, to what degree, depends on what the lane is. But lamaisa, marriage has to be a shutfus biyachad. So the Rebbe said, listen to this. So before we married HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, so before Matan Torah, listen to this, he says, Shekoda Matan Torah, Haisa kol hanhaga sabriya ayidei HaKadosh Baruch Hu levado. Listen to this. Before Matan Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu essentially was running the world himself. He took care of everything himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's got it. He's got broad shoulders. He ran the world himself. U'be'es hanisuin al har Sinai. But at the time that the marriage took place on Har Sinai, when we stood underneath the chuppah of the mountain with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we said Na'aseh v'nishma, remember again, Na'aseh v'nishma was us saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying to us, Hare at mekudeshes li, b'torah zu, kidas Moshe v'Yisrael. So we married him, he married us underneath that mountain. In that moment, kibalnu es haTorah, klei umnoso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We receive the Torah. What's the Torah? The Torah is the very mechanism through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu constructs everything. As Chazal tell us, Histakil ba'oraiso u'bara alma. When Hashem created the world, how did He create the world? He looked inside the Torah and He created the world with the Torah. So when we receive the Torah, we receive the very mechanism, the very blueprint for creation. What happened as a result of that? Sha'al yada nivru kol ha'olamos. The Torah which was responsible for creating the entire universe. Va'al yada misnagim kol ha'olamos. And all the worlds are run based on this blueprint. U'biyachad im ha'Torah nitan lanu ze ha'koach. And ultimately, again, with receiving the Torah, what did we receive the ability to do? We received the ability to be b'shutfus b'yachad im HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ribono Shel Olam said, up until Matan Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I was building and creating and fixing the world by myself. We were partners that everybody had, but you were never in my lane. Now that you have given you the Torah, the very blueprint for creation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, now, listen to the words of the Maggid, you can help me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us that we can help him in his holy work. What's that holy work? Haynu shekibalnu maftechos tikun habriya. We have received the very keys through which we can rectify, uplift, and somehow perfect creation. Sheyehe shlemos tikun ha'olam. So we'll see, hear this? I think probably one of the most amazing things I ever learned about Shu'as in my entire life. That before this great chasana, there was a shutfus, but it wasn't a shutfus biyachad. We were doing our thing, God was doing His thing. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I want to give you the thing, kiviyachol, that I use, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to run the world, to create the world. It's called Torah. And when I give it to you, I'm giving you the keys to help me create. I'm giving you the keys to help me perfect. I'm giving you the keys to help me build. And so now, you no longer have to be spectators in this world. But you could literally be my spouse. You could literally be my partner. You could literally be not just shutfim, but shutfim biyachad. To go ahead and somehow uplift and fix the world. You know, I will say, this notion of fixing the world, you know, it got to us when we hear this, right? I say fixing the world, you think? Tikkun olam, right? So that concept got a little bit hijacked. Right? Remember, Tikkun olam is a value, is a Jewish value, not just a value that's espoused by some streams. Okay, it became a dominant thing in certain streams of Yiddishkeit. Okay, but it's something we all believe in. I just want to show you where this starts. Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kuk says so beautifully that if you look back in Ma'aseh Bereishis, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says when he's creating the trees, he says, let it be an Eitz Pri Oseh Pri. Let it be a fruit tree that produces fruit. But yet when the Pasuk talks about creation, what does it say? It says, Eitz Oseh Pri. Now Rashi HaKadosh points out, what does it mean Eitz Pri Oseh Pri? In the original Mashal, in the original vision, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted fruit that tasted like fruit and trees that tasted like fruit as well. He wanted almost like harmony of creation. Everything would be sweet. But yet then when it came to actual creation, the fruit tastes like fruit and the trees taste like trees. Trees. So Rashi HaKadosh says, oh, you see that the trees didn't comply. The earth didn't listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, earth, I want you to do this. The earth didn't comply. Rav Aram Yitzchak HaKohen Kuk, Chusio Gein Aleinu says, what are you talking about? The earth doesn't have Bechira. The earth doesn't have free will. The Maharal says the same idea in Gur Aryeh. So what's the pshat? What's the pshat that the earth didn't comply? And Rav Kook says something absolutely amazing. Rav Kook says essentially HaKadosh Baruch Hu created an imperfect world perfectly. See, the machshava was, let me create everything perfect. Right? Can you imagine if you have a fruit tree that tastes like a fruit? It's like perfect. It's perfect. Everything is edible. Everything is sweet. It represents perfection. It represents complete and total harmony. Universal equilibrium. Universal equilibrium sounds beautiful. There's only one problem. What's the problem? Right? Yeah. No. Then what do we here for? Then what do we do? What do? We eat trees? We eat fruit? Like that's what we come to? We come to here, to Silver Spring, to drink bourbon and eat olives, which is great. You know, Baruch Hashem, that's great. Right? If there's universal equilibrium, right? If at the end of the day, the trees are sweet and the fruit is sweet, then what are we doing? So says Rav Kook so beautifully, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a perfect world imperfectly, meaning he left certain things undone. Why? So that we should have the ability to partner with him and to make the world a little bit better, or maybe make the world a lot better. But says the Maggid of Mezrich something so beautiful. For thousands of years, man is going around and is like, okay, I know what my mandate is. I know that my mandate is to partner with God, but how do I do it? What are the tools? What are the tools to partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu to fix the imperfections, to right the wrongs, to build things a little bit more beautifully? How do I do that? And the answer, says the Maggid of Mezrich, is Torah. Torah is the Maggid. So people say, I want to point out, we've had this conversation many times, all too often, when we think about Torah, we have a very limited view of Torah. Right? That it's just about like this, like just like your head in the sefer, and that's it. Talmud Torah is one part of Torah. But there are many dimensions of Torah. Torah is not just something you learn. Torah is something you love. Torah is something you live. And Torah is the very mechanism through which we can become partners in building with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So says the Maggid of Mezrich so beautifully, at the Chasana, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu married us, Kivyachal Har Sinai, what was, right? Remember, in order to affect halachic marriage, what do you need? What do you need? Kiddushin. What do you need for Kiddushin? Right? You need an item of value. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu married us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu married us at Har Sinai, so what was the item of value? What did he give us? Torah. That he didn't give us a ring, well, he gave us a ring, but the ring was called Torah. Torah was the item of value that he gave us to affect Kiddushin with Klal Yisrael. What's the point of that Kiddushin? Shutfas Biyachar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, help me build this world. Help me make things better. You know, Chavra, we go through life and we often feel so incredibly helpless, right? We see things unfolding and are all around us. Whether it's in this country, when we see, you know, on one hand, like, we live in such extremes, you know, on one hand, I spoke of this on Shabbos, you know, on one hand, you know, literally, the President of the United States asked us to observe Shabbos. I don't know what they did here in this community, but like, you know, I felt that like Mamish is like a Nes Nigla. And this is an apolitical statement. This is whether you like the President, you don't like the President. That is an irrelevant statement. The President of the United States is the most powerful man on the face of the earth, right? And that's whether you voted for him or not. He's the most powerful man. And when the most powerful man on the face of the earth tells Jews to keep Shabbos in a country where 75 years ago, any of you who are descended from immigrants may have stories in your family like I have of a grandfather who lost his job every single Erev Shabbos because he would not work on Shabbos. And in that same country where my grandfather, Zichrono Lebracha, could not hold down a job because he would not sacrifice his Shabbos, that the leader of the free world tells us to go out and keep Shabbos is a Nes Nigla. If you don't hear the footsteps of Mashiach coming in that, you got to get your hearing, your spiritual hearing checked. So on one hand, you have that. On the other hand, we have this tidal wave of anti-Semitism. Tidal wave. Overwhelming. I'm assuming you're a little bit cocooned here also. We're also a little bit cocooned in Baltimore. But you look at what's happening in New York, and it's absolutely overwhelming. Absolutely overwhelming. Then we look at Eretz Yisrael. Just today, another precious soldier was killed by Hezbollah in the north. I forgot the name of the young man, a commander in paratroopers, left behind a widow, a one-year-old child. And sometimes like we look around the world and we feel so helpless of it. And this is aside from all the other stuff that we see. People struggling with shidduchim, people struggling with fertility, mental health, physical health, all different kinds of tzaris. And sometimes you just feel a Kadosh Baruch Hu ba'u mayim ad nafesh. I don't know, we're like at a loss for things. And you can feel so overwhelmed by just the enormity of everything afterwards that like there's nothing to do, but I don't know, like turn on Netflix, you know, like retreat, because at the end of the day, I just feel so overwhelmed. But Chevra, we're not powerless. We are the most powerful beings in this world because we were the nation who married HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he didn't give us a ring. He gave us a Torah. And with that Torah, he said, now you have the power to create. Now you have the power to perfect. Now you have the power to see things that are broken and do something about them. You know, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh says, and the Mishnah in Perkei Avos, that we're going to sing a little more. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh says so beautifully, he says, Histakel b'shlosha dvarim, right? Kavya Mahalal says, right? Look at three things. Right? He says, Dam alam alam mincha, Ayin roa, ozen shama'as, v'chol ma'asecha b'sefer nechtavin. So literally again, ayin roa, there's a seeing eye, there's a listening ear, and all of your deeds are recorded in a book. So generally again, what does it mean? So do we understand Mishnah on a Pashut level? Is at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears everything, he sees everything, and lest you think that every single thing that you do is not recorded in the divine ledger, you're wrong. Everything is recorded. Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh says that's not what it means. It's not what it means. It means da malamala mimcha means know that everything you do in this world sends a ripple effect in Shamayim. What we do here matters. Duh. No. Mala mala. What happens in the celestial sphere? Mimcha. Is from us. What we do creates a rash, creates noise in Shamayim. So therefore what? Ayin Roa. Baal Shem Tov says, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows you to see something, right? Or ozen shamas, to hear something. I'm about to say, you know, you ever sometimes like, you hear something unfortunate, you see something unfortunate, so what do you normally do? What do you do when you see something or hear something unfortunate? What do you do? What do you do? You krechts, right? Oh, terrible. You see a kapitel to Tehillim. Says the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, if you see something broken, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to see it because you can do something about it. If you hear about something that is broken, Hashem is allowing you to hear that because He wants you to do something about it. And at the end of the day, what is the metric of a successful life? Call Ma'asecha Nechtavin. After 120, however, there's good news and bad news. What's the good news? The good news is that no matter how much you sinned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't know that He's going to give us a pass, but He's going to be very understanding. Right? Why? Because He programmed us. He made us. He knows us. He knows all of our shortcomings. Chet is part of the human condition. What we're judged on is, when you saw something broken in this world, what did you do? Did you krecht and then move on? Did you think that you exempted yourself with a kapitel Tehillim and then you moved on? Or did you roll up your sleeves and try to do something? Nothing is random in this world. If you see it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to see it. And if you hear it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to hear it. And if you experience it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to experience it. And if you see and you hear and you experience something that is broken or in a state of imperfection, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, roll up your sleeves, get to work, and partner with me in fixing the world. I'll say, but who am I? Just a regular guy. How could I partner with the King of Kings in fixing anything? Says the Magid of Mezrich. That's the Yom Tov of Shavuos. The Yom Tov of Shavuos is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. The Torah's universal blueprint. That's the Tabas, that's the ring He gave us in order to effect Kiddushin with Him. We married Him with Torah, and with that marriage came ultimately not just Shutfos, but Shutfos B'Yachad. The ability to become singularly aligned with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rebbe Hashem is the creator, is the fixer, and He, by Shavuos, by giving us Torah, He gives us that same koach. Rabbi Hussein, we go through life feeling so powerless about so many things in life. Whether it's our relationships, whether it's our career, whether it's our ruchnias, we go through life like victims of circumstance. We are more powerful than we could ever imagine because we have the tool of creation, mamish, at our fingertips. And that is the Simcha of Shavuos. Because the idea that I could partner with God, the idea that I could be a Kaddish Baruch Hu, who is not just Shutav, but Shutav Biyachad. The idea that I could take the things that are imperfect and flawed in this world and somehow, some way, make them a little bit wholer, make them a little bit better, make them a little bit more beautiful, is the greatest schus in the world. So Shavuos doesn't have an object. It doesn't have a ritual mitzvah because it doesn't need it. Shavuos is the antav of marriage. And Rabbi, we should just take this into our own lives. Identify an area of life where you have felt helpless. Identify an area of life where you have felt that, no, there's nothing I could do to change this situation. And then tonight, already in Shloshis Mehagbalah, 3 days leading up to Shavuos, make the Kabbalah. Make the Kabbalah. Rabbi, you know what? Those of you who are with us in Yachid Kala know it's all about the Kabbalah. All about the Kabbalah. Make your Kabbalah tonight. What are you undertaking in your life to change? What are you undertaking in your life to stop feeling like a victim and recognize that you have the koach of creation at your fingertips, that you are kibyachal married to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the power of Shavuos. That's the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Halalai v'shal b'zochem yiras Hashem. To find the things that are broken within ourselves, within the world, recognize that we have the power to repair. And if all of us just fix a little bit, imagine what this world can become. As we get ready for this beautiful chasana with HaKadosh Baruch Hu yiras Hashem, we should be zochet to renew our vows. We should be zochet to remain recommitted. We should be zochet Emir Hashem to receive that tabas, that ring of Torah, with an incredible excitement. And we should be zochet Emir Hashem to roll up our sleeves and to fix all the broken things inside and all around us. L'chaim.
Hey, no, no, better. Say no, and I'll come up with you.
The great Zichos Pachshim of the Yom Tov of Shuas to read Megillas Rus. And the truth is, generally, whenever we read this Sefer, it's defies logic a little bit because it's not abundantly clear how a woman musters up this kind of courage. Right? Remember again, Rus, she lost everything. She lost her husband, she lost her family. The only thing she had in this world, the only person she had in this world was Naomi. And remember again, Naomi isn't exactly the most pleasant person to be around. Remember at the end of Perek Aleph, Naomi comes back to Beis Lechem, and the first thing she says is, don't call me Naomi, rather call me Mara. Call me Mara. So generally when a person says, call me bitter, that's the name I choose to go by, they're not the life of the party. And you know, you wonder to yourself that where does a person find the strength? Right? You know, we don't really get like a biographical sketch of Rus. Like, where did she come up with this koach? And not just the koach to be able, first of all, the koach to follow Naomi to Canaan when nothing was waiting for her at all. The koach to be able to rebound after such devastating, catastrophic life loss. So it just, where does that koach of personality come from? So perhaps the pshat is like this, you know, the Maharal says, the Maharal in Gvuras Hashem has a very beautiful piece where he speaks about the idea that matzah is called lechem oni. Matzah is called right, poor man's bread. The Maharal says, what's the pshat that on Pesach we eat poor man's bread, right? It doesn't make any sense. Because Pesach is the Yom Tov of Chayrus. We're celebrating our freedom. Ooh, sorry. You're going to drink that?
It's
going to
be better.
Okay, sorry. Do we have a napkin? Yeah. Okay. So how is it that... I'm just going to drink this. I think the spill. So how is it that on Yom Tov of Chayrus that we go ahead and we eat lechem only? Right, that we go ahead and we eat poor man's bread. Right, so what's about to knock that over? What's the pshat that we eat poor man's bread on Yom Tov of Chayrus? And the Maharal says something absolutely amazing. The Maharal writes, he says in this lashon, he says, because everyone knows, ein ben chorin ela ani. The only truly free person is the pauper. This is what's the pshat. This sounds so opposite, right? So antithetical to the truth. So the Maharal says something so beautiful. He says, when a person has a lot, a person has stuff. So the truth is, what is the usher? Right? The rich man has a lot of stuff. But the rich man lives with a perpetual fear. What's his perpetual fear? That he's going to lose it, right? That's why Chazal say, Oev kesef lo yispa kesef. If you love money, you'll never be satiated by money, right? Why? Because again, once you have and you enjoy things, we all experience this. There's a piece in me that fears losing it because now, like, my sense of happiness and my sense of fulfillment is wrapped up in the stuff that I have. So suddenly, again, if my financial situation takes a downturn and I can't afford, yesterday's luxuries become today's necessities, there's a fear. So The rich man has a lot, but the rich man is not free, because the rich man, his happiness, his sense of identity, his well-being, his contentment is wrapped up in his stuff. But the Maharal says, the Ani has nothing. He has nothing. He's not dependent on anything because he doesn't have anything. And as such, he's absolutely and totally free. So says the Maharal, first he says on Pesach, says the Maharal, therefore on Yom Tov of Pesach, when we're celebrating freedom, what we're highlighting is be very careful. Because if your sense of freedom and if your sense of happiness is attached to stuff, then you're not free. You might be content, you might even be happy, but you're not free. Because your happiness, your contentment is dependent on something. The whole avoda of a yid is to find untethered freedom. To find the sense of happiness, to find the sense of contentment that comes from inside. Because that simcha, that happiness, that freedom, that's yours. And perhaps that's the pshat in Rus. Rus had nothing, right? She had no family, she had no husband, she had no money, she had absolutely nothing. Sometimes when you have nothing, that's when you can find everything. Sometimes when you realize that I have no money, I have no family, I have nothing, suddenly it's like an open playing field to figure out what is really important in life. What are the things that I actually need in order to make me feel happy in a true way, content in a true way, fulfilled in a true way? It was only because Rus had nothing that she was able to discern what was important in life, what she could cling on to. And amazingly enough, what does she say? She says to Naomi, Ameich ami ve'elokayich elokai. Right? Your people is my people. Your God is my God. Chavra, why was she able to say that? Do you know why? Why was she able to say it? Why?
Because
she was free. Because she had nothing else. And when you have nothing else, it's incredible. You have this clarity of vision about what's important in life and what are the things that are really going to lead you on the path of self-actualization. She had nothing, so she was able to discover everything. And I think that this is part of our progression, because remember, again, the linkage between Pesach and Shavuos, right, the Ramban brings down that all the days of Sfira are like one big period of Chol HaMoed in between Pesach and Shavuos. So we began on Pesach with this discovery of, we're free. But what does it mean to be free? So the most instinctive thing about freedom is stuff. Right, a slave can't own anything. Masha kana evad kana rabo. Right, whatever a slave acquires, his master acquires. So my instinctive idea about freedom is now I could own stuff. Now I have stuff, which is true, and that's beautiful, and that's incredible. But that's not where happiness is going to come from, and that's not really where freedom is going to come from. Only an ani could be free, because only an ani is who's not tethered to anything, can make a choice about what he chooses to place priority on. And so we come all the way to the end of Shavuos, Chavra, and we realize something amazing. Happiness only comes from one place. As David HaMelech says, Va'ani kirvas Elokim litov. There's only one place where true happiness comes from, and that's from Dveikos Vashem, having a relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. Ein lanu melech ela ata. Ribon kol ha'olamim. Kadosh Baruch Hu, all we have in this world is you. And happiness comes from a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Contentment comes from a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Fulfillment comes from a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We spend our lives looking for happiness and looking for fulfillment and looking for contentment in all the wrong places, when at the end of the day, anything and everything we need to be happy is right here, is right here, it's right here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting for us to have this relationship, to create this beautiful relationship. Only the Ani who is tethered to nothing can discover everything. Only Arus, who had nothing, could become the mother of David Malka Mashiach. I will say, isn't it incredible that the poorest of the poor, a woman who had absolutely nothing, becomes the Alter Baba of the Messianic line? Because when you choose to detach yourself from the various things in this world, recognizing that they are not going to bring you the sense of fulfillment and happiness you want, and that only happiness and fulfillment will only come from that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we're free. And once we're free, once we're untethered, we're able to latch onto the things that are really meaningful. Shanes Yom Tov of Shua, so we'll say, where once again we come full circle. There's no mitzvah, there's no specific ritual or rite, because Hashem Baruch Hu wanted us to be focused a little bit more globally. He wanted us to become like Rus. He wanted us to detach ourselves from everything for that little bit on Yom Tov. Become like an ani. Right? I'm not going to work, so I don't have my job. I don't have my career. I don't have access to a lot of my stuff. It's Yom Tov. I could truly be free. And in that moment of freedom, we have the opportunity to discover what really matters. And we know what really matters. V'ani kevas Elokim litov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu matters. Am Yisrael matters. Eretz Yisrael matters. Torah matters. These are the things that Emir Hashem will give us a profound sense of fulfillment, a profound sense of contentment. In these days leading up to Yom Tov, let's disentangle from the things that so often take up so much of our bandwidth. Become an ani, become poor. I know it sounds like a strange bracha, but to a certain degree, become at least impoverished in a certain sense. Detach in order to attach. To find the things in life that are really meaningful, to cling on to the things that are truly beautiful and eternal. And in that way, Emir Hashem, just as Rus, when she discovered this koach to detach in order to attach, discovers her destiny, we should be zochei Emir Hashem to do the same. L'chaim, l'chaim.
Does that work for you?
Are you asking me if I'll use the perspective? You want to bring out the change my perspective.
It's in love. Shabbat Shalom.
I'm really enjoying it.
What? Is there anybody that you recommend?